Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Wednesday afternoon.
Woohoo!
Hump day!
Mike.
It is good to be with you. Dan, have you seen the catch from the Blue Jays outfielder Dalton Varsho overnight?
No.
Okay. It is, Logan, have you seen it?
Yeah, it was filthy. I can't believe he even got up to see the ball, let alone catch it.
Okay.
We were watching baseball last night, but I missed this. So I walk in here and Scott goes, oh my gosh, drop what you're doing. I need you to watch this, but wait until we get on the air.
So Dalton Varsho, who is making his season debut, first time he's played all season, center field for the Blue Jays. They're playing the Boston Red Sox. Did you just watch it?
That was sweet.
Okay. So Dana, I want you to watch this in real time. You have not seen this play.
I have not.
Is that correct?
Nope. Okay, here, there's the windup.
All right, here it is.
Here's the pitch.
Seems to normally have. Here's a drive to deep center. Varsho back.
Oh.
Did he catch that ball? He caught that ball.
That was backwards?
No.
Upside down.
Watch it again. Hang on. I want you to watch it again.
Who's the guy, the reaction shot, where the player's just like, what just happened?
So here is the hit. You ready?
Okay.
Seems to normally have. Here's a drive to deep center.
Catches it behind his back.
He falls down. He falls down on the warning track and still catches it backwards.
Wow.
Wicked sweet.
I woke up and look at the look on his face. He's like, yeah.
I know. Yeah, I just did that.
I'm the man.
I do that every day.
Yeah, that me.
Oh, my God. I love it so much.
That's an American League Gold Glove winner right there who's making you say, that's a regular play for me.
He literally gets up and is like, yeah, so what? Number one on SportsCenter.
Do things like that all the time, or is he new to the highlight reel?
Nothing to that extent, but like I said, I mean, he was the center field Gold Glove winner in the American League last year, so he's got one of the best fielding abilities of anybody in the outfield in Major League Baseball. Leaves a lot to be desired as a hitter, but that is a hell of a play. I don't care who you are.
Backward, upside down, blindfolded, behind the back. That's the stuff when you're a little kid. You're like, 3, 2, 1, roar. Like, that's what you dream of at the warning track. You know, that is stuff of childhood dreams on the baseball
and
field.
And how did he even see the ball coming? Because he barely gets his head turned back around. When he falls down on the warning track.
Great peripheral vision.
He barely gets his head turned to the left just in time to catch the ball in reverse.
The word isn't necessarily peripheral vision. He had to have x-ray vision to do what he did.
Instinct.
It is the positional awareness that every professional athlete has to an extreme level. The positional awareness, and I've always said that about Patrick Mahomes. Do you understand the positional awareness one would have to have in a rushing situation to pull off some of the things he's pulled off? And I think that there are elite athletes that just have a body awareness unlike anyone else.
You're right.
And add him to the list.
I woke up this morning and it was all over my Facebook reels. I'm like, why is everybody feeding this video like over and over and over again. And it dawned on me, it was last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is the greatest catch I have ever, ever. In 53 years on this planet, I have never seen a catch like that.
Pretty good.
It's pretty amazing.
All right. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing good. I got me some calamine lotion.
Okay, let's talk about the itchy.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I had to go to the pharmacy today because the poison ivy has gotten so bad, and specifically at night, I have caught myself waking up in the middle of the night, and it's just, it's growing.
Has it reached...
No.
Regions nether.
No, it's a little north of where I'm comfortable, but I went to CVS, and based on one of our listeners' recommendation, I got that TECMU cream. Ooh. I got some Benadryl. I got some calamine lotion. I'm throwing everything at this but the kitchen sink. And then I meet a buddy at the elevator today. He was just walking out the same time I was. He's like, how you doing? And I'm like, well, I got the poison ivy. And he goes, let me tell you. And as he's backing away from me.
Yeah.
He goes, I am so allergic to poison ivy that once I got it in my eye, and I go, wait a minute, you can get it in your eye? And now all day I have just been panicked. Like, have I scratched my eye? Have I touched my eye?
So
I need to be washing my hands.
I was going to say, are you washing your hands a lot?
I just went in to the restroom, sang the happy birthday song 3 times.
Okay, good.
Because I'm so worried about it getting in my eye. I don't know what happens when it gets in your eye. I don't want to find out.
I bet it's unpleasant.
One of the interesting things, Dan, we'll bring you into this conversation. When I was in that aisle, it's a very specific aisle, by the way.
It's called allergen.
The itchy itch cream aisle.
Yeah, it's a very specific.
We go there too.
Weird aisle full of weird things. And I'm like looking around like, oh, God. And next to all of the various Lotrimins, I see a picture of a banana. Okay, there's a picture of a banana on this little green box. And for $11.99, right next to the poison ivy cream, read that.
Oh, hang on. Let me get my glasses. It says pinworm. Here, give me your phone.
Dan, look, I thought I was having a bad day with the poison ivy. I don't know what pinworm medicine is for, and I don't want to find out. This is next to the poison ivy aisle.
It's a parasitic worm.
Give me. Back
Why time. Would one have pinworms?
What is a pinworm?
What I would need is an AED, because if any sort of worm came out of my body, I would have a heart attack and die.
The most common symptom of infection by pinworms is itching.
No.
The reason you itch at night is because the female pinworm is laying thousands of eggs in your anus.
No, no.
I'm reading it right here. Literally in the folds of the skin surrounding the anus.
I would just die.
Also inhale the eggs.
I don't want to talk about it.
In the air.
Here's what I will say.
Eat contaminated food.
We're not even going to take calls on this because I don't know what devil has sat on a human body to make that thing happen or what it has to do with a banana, by the way. There's a banana prominently displayed on the packaging.
Well, in case you have itching on your bananas.
I would just die.
Have you experienced any stomach pain or nausea?
No.
Okay.
I would experience death.
Any insomnia or irritability?
No.
Okay. Teeth grinding?
Yeah, I do that.
Restlessness?
Yeah, always.
Okay. Itching in this area?
No, I do not have any itching in that area. You guys, honestly, please stop calling. We're not taking calls on this. I don't know why this would happen. If it has happened to you, I am so sorry. I would not survive that.
The pinworm always lays their eggs in the
buttocks
region of its host.
I don't need to know any more about that.
I can tell you about screw worms.
No, I don't want to hear anything more about worms.
What they do.
They have to do with bananas or why it is very prominently displayed on the shelf at Walgreens.
I'm more interested in the pinworm.
Nope, we're good. We're good.
Pinworm. Yeah.
Nothing else. Nothing else to talk about here, Scott.
That the... anal worm.
Nothing else.
Poison ivy.
Ew.
So was it poison ivy or poison sumac?
It's either sumac, oak, or ivy. I don't know, Dan.
Pinworm?
I think the end result is generally the same. I did get a spray.
Can you imagine if it was the pinworm?
Yeah, I did get an itch spray.
It's been,
and I feel good right now. I really do.
Like a dog across the carpet.
Okay, we're done.
Wow.
Get out.
Brilliant.
Get out. Get out. We're going to break. I'm going to vomit.
913.
Scoot, scoot, scoot.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Okay, so you talked about the viral baseball catch.
Mm-hmm.
I had not personally seen that this morning on my feed. There is only one thing on my feed from the time I woke up at like 6:30 this morning until I pulled into work again and again and again. And it is the interview that Bill Belichick did with CBS Morning News, and his 20-something girlfriend she interrupts. Mm-hmm. And then she snaps and then storms out. Is he going to lose his job at UNC?
No.
Because she is unhinged.
She is unhinged. No, he's not going to lose his job.
Why?
Because he's Bill Belichick.
But
he has six Super Bowl rings.
But I'm not going to use the word emasculating. One of the things
that's exactly what happened on Sunday morning.
One of the things I read in the New York Times in The Athletic today was that he was always such a commanding presence at the news conferences, you know, during like Deflategate. Like he was a mastermind at handling the media, right? This was not a sit down, you guys, with 60 Minutes and like a Morley Safer. This was, I'm sure he's a great guy, but this was like a fluff piece.
Great guy. He's a horrible human being.
No. This was a fluff piece for the CBS Morning News.
Sunday morning, yes.
Is what I'm saying. This was not some hard-hitting 60 Minutes, you're in the hot seat. This was a fluff piece.
Correct.
And it ends up looking like he doesn't know how to answer his own questions. And so then you have to ask, who's in charge here?
So he's on a book tour right now.
This
is, the interview was not about you being the head coach at UNC, you know, you having won six Super Bowls with Tom Brady. And can we disparage with the, you're the greatest coach of all time because you've won six Super Bowls. You won them because you had the greatest football player in the history of football.
Okay, so he's on a book tour to talk about his football life.
He shows up for the interview on CBS Sunday morning. Who's he the coach of?
I believe it's UNC.
That is correct. He shows up in a battered, tattered
Navy
sweatshirt.
Because I read somewhere his father played for Navy, and he said great. There's a reason. Okay, great.
You're the head coach of UNC.
What the higher-ups are saying at UNC and at CBS is that for him to show up for a sit-down interview...
He looked like a bum. He looked like me.
Without a handler, without a staff member who is... you know,
versed
in these types of things. He just showed up with the 20 something that's barely old enough to drink. And she kept interrupting him
off camera. She was not on camera
during the interview.
Dairy football coach Bill Belichick.
There was so much to unpack in this interview. Yeah. That's why the internet is aflame.
There's the 73-year-old Belichick, and there's his 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, sitting just feet away watching everything.
You do seem like you're having a lot more fun these days than you were in other chapters of your life, let's say.
So far, so good. But then CBS News' Tony DeCoppola turned to a personal question.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No.
No.
His 24-year-old girlfriend was also present and made her presence felt.
Yes.
That's a lot of what people are talking
That's
about.
That's right. Yeah. And not just made her presence felt, Anthony. it was very remarkable to watch a 24-year-old woman sort of dictate in many instances what could be asked and what couldn't be asked.
Yeah, it wasn't just that. The CBS folks said in the middle of answering different questions about the book, she kept interjecting from off camera. Okay? That's fine. You might say... This is their personal life. It's a little odd that there's this huge age difference between a 70-something and a 20-something, but they're adults, right? That's fine. It's not public or for public consumption if you are truly a private citizen minding your own business. That's not what this is here. He has now pulled her in as a de facto
agent
and staff member of the University of North Carolina, all of which, by the way, those communications, all of which are now public because that is a public institution. If I was the president of UNC, I would say under no circumstances is a 24-year-old woman from anywhere going to be meddling in high-level university athletics issues that she knows nothing about. And this is not about even about football. Can you imagine, and everybody listening, if your boss started looping in a 20-year-old in company business, this is no different. It is completely inappropriate.
Can I say what I think a majority of the audience is thinking? A 74-year-old Bill Belichick dating a 24-year-old, whatever her name is, Jordan Hudson, is inappropriate. It is inappropriate. It is wrong.
But they are both adults.
I understand. So, and they're free to do whatever they want.
Well, up until he starts wrecking the university's reputation, one of the most storied programs in American history. Like, to me, the UNC alums should be mortified.
They are.
His son should be mortified.
They are.
The entire family, I would be like, oh my God, what you do in your private life is completely up to you. We can't stop that. We cannot stop this relationship, nor should they. They're all consenting adults. But the minute it crosses over into she's now going to be dictating the terms of
interview questions,
like it's grossly inappropriate.
If I was the interviewer on CBS Sunday Morning and I'm asking Bill Belichick, how did you guys meet? Which is very innocuous, by the way.
She has already answered that question publicly before.
Who cares?
Who cares?
It's an innocuous question. And off camera, she tells me, a seasoned journalist, we're not talking about that. I would look over and go, listen, sweet cheeks, I'm in charge of the interview. Mr. Belichick, how did you meet? Let's try this again.
Yeah, the door is there. You're welcome to show yourself out of it.
But let me tell you something. And I know you and I have children of relatively the same age. I have a daughter who in 2 weeks is going to turn 24 years of age.
Yep.
If my daughter came home, no, I'm being serious. If Sarah came home with her new boyfriend and it was a 74-year-old man, negative. Somebody who is old enough to be my father is dating my daughter,
Okay, within the last hour, he is slamming the organization that is CBS News and defending her.
Yeah.
So,
because he's whipped.
Look, I don't know what you do about this. I'm going to make it about his employer. They do have the right as his employer to say, we will not have her on communications that are open record requested because it's a state university. She's not going to be on the threads. We did not hire her.
That's correct. She gone.
She's not.
If you want to communicate with her, you can communicate with her with text, private phone calls.
If you were an alum, would you not just be like, what is happening? What? How would he allow this with his career, his knowledge, his education in this arena, knowing all of the things you have to do to put together a successful program and not wanting anything to distract from that? Mm-hmm. How has he allowed this?
Have you seen her?
Someone else suggested, flip that question around, have you seen him? There is a suggestion that she is
gold digging,
taking advantage. I don't know.
She's a gold digger.
You can be a gold digger and take advantage and not insert yourself into employment situations that right. have nothing to do with it. That's where I get mad. Can you imagine if T came in here, Scott, one day, and I know she wouldn't, and said, I want to talk to you about how you're handling your show?
That would never happen.
Well, but how many people 2 years ago would have said, oh, okay, Bill Belichick's going to walk in here with some ding-a-ling that looks great in a swimsuit, and she's going to start ordering people around at the University of North Carolina? No one would have believed it.
I'm actually surprised that CBS Sunday Morning aired that interview at all.
I'm not.
Why?
Everyone in the world is talking about this today.
But this journalist, literally a seasoned journalist, this is not some green right out of KU
kid.
That's
what I was saying. This isn't morally safer either.
I understand that, but it's more morally safer than it is a green kid out of KU. And off camera, she goes, we're not going to talk about that. And he just moves on. No. We are going to talk about that. How did you meet? Because it is unusual that a 74-year-old man yeah. is dating a 24-year-old woman.
And if you thought, Scott, you were going to go on a book tour and no one was going to ask you about that, you have lost your mind.
913-586-7798. Jessica in Shawnee. Jessica, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you.
So the reason that they won't talk about this is because she was a cheerleader, and he recruited cheerleaders. He was very hands-on that way to help with the old Spygate, if we remember all the hot water he was in.
So she was a cheerleader for whom? New England or UNC?
I can't remember. I don't think it was New England, but it was a different professional team.
Okay.
And so you can get a little bit more access that way. So he was very hands-on recruiting cheerleaders to gain access to other teams. Huh. And that's why they don't want to answer questions about it. And that's why it's so interesting.
Okay. By the way, in his book, and he hem-hawed around this question on Sunday morning, nowhere in the book does he mention Robert Kraft.
He says that is correct. And then the interviewer says,
owner of the team.
You know, you were fired. And Belichick says it was a mutual decision to part ways. And then the reporter presses him and says he fired you. And there's a pause and he says it was a mutual decision to part ways.
Yeah. Social media is erupting with reaction to Jordan, who has been a constant and super glamorous presence at Belichick's side.
Is anyone else starting to feel a little scared for Bill Belichick? His 24-year-old girlfriend wouldn't let him speak for himself?
Curiously, the question she shut down had already been answered by Jordan herself. She wrote that the two met sitting next to each other on a flight. Their 49-year age difference sure seems to be changing the notoriously grouchy Belichick. Check out these photos. Belichick as a fisherman and Jordan a sexy mermaid. And in this video, he's trying to balance Jordan on his feet. They're a little shaky at first, then success. But some questions are still off limits.
How did you guys meet?
Story here from Channel 9. The popular La Tierra taco shell and seasoning brand could return to store shelves this summer.
Thank you, Fleener.
If all goes to plan, from a court-appointed manager of the brand's parent company. More than 13,000 people have joined a Facebook page saying they want the La Tierra brand back. The thin and crispy taco shells and popular seasoning vanished from store shelves earlier this year. Gladstone Food Products, which is La Tierra's parent company, stopped production when it no longer paid creditors after an expansion. According to Eric Morazewski, the founder and CEO of NMBL Strategies.
So we're on the air last night, and our good friend Matt Fleener over at KNBC, chief investigative reporter, by the way.
Yes.
I look over, and instead of, you know, updating us on the latest tow crisis or the latest trash on the highways crisis, he can get to the bottom of things. I look over, and I'm like, what's Matt working on? He is holding up a bottle, or a box, rather, of the La Tierra taco shells. And when I saw that, I got so excited because I thought, if anyone can resurrect the taco shell, it is Matt Fleener. So I texted him. Start with the blue there. You can just read it. Huh?
You said, I will pay you $1,000 for that box of taco shells. Matt Fleener wrote back, no, bidding starts at $5,000. You wrote back, ha, 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 ha. Okay.
He's right. Calling in on the hotline. Here's the deal. I don't think anyone understood the global demand for these shells that are produced right here, nor do I think most people even knew the best taco shell in the world was produced right here. What happened was it was very organic. People started going to the store, and they started noticing the only taco shells on the shelves were those crappy yellow corn hard old El Paso.
Which are the worst.
You remember I came in and I said, what is the deal with the taco shell? We can't find the, you know, the one in the white box. Where did they go? And then it blew up on social media. Matt, where does the bidding stand for that box that's on your desk?
I'm still at 5,000. Nobody's actually put in a bid yet, but I mean, I'm holding firm.
Do you take starter checks?
Will it bounce? I mean,
yeah, if it's from Dana, the answer is yes.
So what did you find out? Please tell us these are coming back. We didn't even know about this until we noticed, you know, everyone was going to the grocery store. You couldn't find them.
Well, and because everybody has gone to now hoard them, and yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I'll be very honest. I've never had one of these taco shells.
Oh my God, you are missing out on heaven.
I know. I hear that. I mean, it's just so. This very nice gentleman, Doug Newton, in the Northland yesterday. He was so generous. He had a couple cases of these taco shells, and he actually gave a box to me and photojournalist Bill Klinkhart and said, hey, here, enjoy it. So I plan to do that later this week. I'm not actually selling that box of taco shells or anything like that.
Matt,
it was just made as a joke.
I'm going to warn you right now. Taco shell is going to ruin every other taco experience you ever have.
It's true.
Once you have that, you will go, this is it. And then you will understand why people are hoarding them. Put them in the toaster oven for like 45 seconds.
Okay. I was hearing 20 seconds yesterday, but you're saying 45.
Yeah, it doesn't take long because the natural oils on them, listen to me, I should be a spokesperson. It makes it so crispy and they're so thin.
Put the oven at 350, less than 1 minute.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. Okay. We can make that happen.
But Matt, riddle me this, Batman. How is it that a company that is so popular, when they were going out of business, people were racing to Hy-Vee and Price Chopper and Hen House to grab all these La Tierra taco shells, and yet they're $5 million in debt?
Well, the court-appointed receiver, so he's kind of the manager of the company now that a judge said, hey, you need to step in and manage this company. He told us yesterday that they tried to do an expansion pre-COVID. They expanded their production facility and just couldn't keep up. right? Like they couldn't keep up with the note that they had on the property. I think they owe some money, according to court records, to a plumber, to an electrician. We talked to a gentleman owed $13,000, a trucking company who took those taco shells all over the country. So yeah, there's a serious side to this. I mean, people are out money. And so that's ultimately why the business had to stop production. It's because they couldn't pay their creditors, had to go to court. And now a court appointed receiver has stepped in to sell the company and hopefully pay back those creditors that are owed money. And that court appointed receiver, by the way, which I think is why this story took off on social media, he told us yesterday, if all goes according to plan, that the hope is that production could start again by this summer when a buyer comes in, takes over the facility and gets those precious taco shelves back on store shelves.
Yeah, it's not going to take a business genius to know that this is a great opportunity to come in and bring back what the public is demanding. There were people, Matt, saying they were going to GoFundMe or crowdsource, you know, some sort of pot of money to help bring this thing back. I don't know that that's still happening.
People texting me from all across the country yesterday. I'm serious. I mean, these things are like literally there was a lady who called a grocery chain down in Texas and said, hey, can you scoop up all of the seasoning from your stores and I will buy it. And she brought 67 taco packets back here to Kansas City. Seasoning packets. And it's just, it's unreal. I have not seen a response to a story like this in quite some time.
Well, which just boggles the mind. And you mentioned the expansion back during COVID, but a brand that is so popular, Matt, that could be so much in debt. I mean, it just boggles the mind.
Yeah, it's a company that's been around since 1960, and very popular and that kind of thing. And so, you know, there's obviously more than probably what was reported yesterday is probably more that went on and that kind of thing. And I'm, you know, obviously always open to tips. If there's something else going on with the company we need to know about. Yeah. Love to hear it. But, it does. How could a company get out of the skis like that? Especially with such a popular brand, tough to say, hopefully according to the court appointed receiver, his hope is again, by this summer, those taco shells could be back.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Listen, I'm going to have those taco shells later this week. I'll report back.
Well, I want to report back because I can't believe you've never had La Tierra taco shells.
I know.
We've just figured this out.
Yeah.
And we're not just saying this because we want to introduce you to the joy, if you will. But I do feel like you need to bring that box in. We will make sure we have security. And we want to watch. I want to, on the air, the first bite you take.
To hear the crunch.
But then we also would like a taco, too.
Yeah.
You want a shell as well.
Just one.
Fleener, riddle me this. Do you eat Old El Paso? Get a rope.
I probably had it before. I mean... yeah, maybe. I don't know.
What taco shells do you eat?
Darling, we're going to have to shut you down.
No, I lived in Austin, Texas for 3 years. I reported there. So I've had some really, really good taco shells. Now, brand name, I don't know. But I know a good taco shell, but this one sounds like it's hard to beat. So again, I'll taste test. I'll report back. We'll see where we go from there.
Okay, just promise me if you're not going to come in and do it, you will get some video of you doing this and we can share it with everybody. Cause it will be like, it's, you know, you're the last one in Kansas City to ever do this. So this is sort of a seminal moment here.
And I feel like I'm like I've got a box of gold now.
You do.
Well, are you one who like after your shift at Channel 9 goes through like the Taco Bell drive-through and thinks you're getting gourmet?
No.
He's from Texas. He works in Texas.
Yeah. No, I know a good authentic, and I like corn tortillas too. Like corn tortillas, that's the way to go. And I know these are your corn, so that's the way to go. I've eaten Taco Bell in my day, but no, I know what a good taco shell is. I will report back on that. Listen, fair and unbiased reporting here. I will report back exactly what I, experienced there.
Okay, good.
So, well, we look forward to that report.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Be well.
Okay. Could he be more uncomfortable?
Matt's sweet Matt is always like, every time I do a story. I mean, he became a verb after the trash pickup story.
Yeah, he fleenered him. He fleenered definitely.
I love him. I think he's my favorite reporter.
913-586-7798-586.
I just want a taco shell.
7798 here on Dana and Parks. Let's take you to Holland here for a moment. Literally marked by a child's hand, one of Holland's most valuable paintings is now undergoing restoration after being accidentally damaged in a museum in Rotterdam. The work in question, gray, orange on maroon, number 8.
Original.
Is what it's called, 1960 by Mark Rothko. It's, by the way, it literally is, it's a maroon canvas with a gray line and an orange line.
Okay.
And it is not art, but apparently people think it's art.
Okay.
Because if I can do it, it's not art. It sustained several visible scratches in its unvarnished lower paint level when a young boy brushed against it during a visit to a museum in Rotterdam.
Uh-huh.
The incident occurred at the depot that allows visitors to view thousands of works in a visible storage environment where much of the collection is accessible without traditional exhibition barriers. By the way, the painting is valued at $60 million.
Okay. I will see your $60 million painting from the dude I've never heard of, and I will raise you the priceless 17th century painting discovered behind mattresses in an attic in France. Before we go calling this priceless, oh, just wait, there is a price attached. It took 5 years to verify and restore this painting to prepare it for auction. It is a 1607 Caravaggio.
Oh, yes. I'm very, very familiar with his work.
It depicts, I believe, important historical things. Sometimes the most valuable treasures are hiding in plain sight, which was certainly the case when a French family discovered a priceless painting thought to be lost forever in their attic. According to Artsy, after going through a strenuous 5-year authentication, cleaning, and analysis process, the artwork has been verified. First name was Michelangelo, by the way. The painting is Caravaggio's...
Oh, it's a Michelangelo?
Caravaggio.
Oh.
The painting is his Judith and Holofernes, mm-hmm, created in 1607. It depicts the beheading of a Syrian general by the beautiful widow Judith, for whom the former had affections. The artwork is expected to fetch $170 million. Setting a record as the...
A fifth of a billion.
Next most expensive, Caravaggio, went for $145,000 in 1998. Still a lot of money.
Is there a picture of this
there
artwork?
Is.
This, can I see it?
It miraculously survived years of neglect. Clearly. In a leaky attic behind old mattresses and a box springs. I mean, it is a beheading. There's a guy laying down going, rah! And then there's a woman looking over him, and he's like, shouldn't have fell for that one.
Why is his head still attached?
Well, because it was just prior. I don't know. There's blood on it. It's kind of gruesome.
You'd think if it was a beheading, the head would not be on his shoulders.
No, but would you want to hang that over the mantle? Anyway, if I had $170 million, that is not where that money would go.
Okay.
Let me tell you that.
Speaking of money, the Atlanta Falcons have been fined $250,000. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, $100,000 for their involvement in the prank call of now Cleveland Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders, according to the NFL. On April 25th, it was the second day of the NFL draft. Shedeur Sanders received a phone call from someone claiming to be New Orleans Saints general manager Mickey Loomis, who then briefly pretended that Sanders would be drafted by the team before revealing the call to be a prank. On Sunday, Atlanta released a statement saying that Jax Ulbrich, Jeff Ulbrich's 21-year-old son, was responsible for the call. The Falcons said the younger Ulbrich saw Sanders' contact information on his dad's iPad and provided the number to a friend. Jax Ulbrich was seated next to the unnamed friend in a video released of the call. Of course, because when you're going to do something like that, you have to videotape it, and then you have to put it out on social media, because we're dumb.
Yeah.
Quoting here from the Falcons in a statement, "We appreciate the NFL's swift and thorough review of last week's data exposure and the event that transpired due to it. We were proactive in addressing the situation internally. We cooperated fully with the league throughout the process and accepted the discipline levied of Coach Jeff Ulbrich and our organization. The family will participate in community service initiatives related to the matter." I find that very, very hard to believe.
Okay, a couple of stories when we get back. There is a settlement in a big case that we talked about a couple of years ago involving a murder and a GPS tracker here in town. We're going to talk about that. And also, do you remember being in high school or in college way back in the day, 60s, 1970s, maybe the early 80s?
Late 80s.
If you got caught with some beer in a farmer's field, what did the officers do?
I told you to pour it out.
Pour it out, call your parents, get off the farm property. There is a very sweet post that's going to bring back some memories for all of our listeners. And what one sheriff's department did when they found a bunch of kids out in a field drinking the Boone's Farm.
Were you ever at a party in high school when somebody comes running in the front door and goes,
"Cops are here!
Cops!"
Scattered like roaches, they
did. Yes, they did. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dan and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.